I was glad that Sean, when he left a couple of weeks ago, said he was going to be gone for the 3 weeks and was able to tell you what he was doing over in Spain. The bad news is, by him telling you that he was going to be gone, then I knew there'd probably be less people coming when I was speaking, but that's okay. I had somebody ask me earlier today, are you going to tell a joke today? I want you to get something out of the sermon anyway. So, a missionary was going into the most remote section of Africa. He found a native that would take him upstream to a tribe of headhunters cut off from civilization. In the distance, they would hear drums. What is that drumming? The missionary asked nervously. The native replied, drums okay, but if they stop it, it would be very bad. The drums continued for 3 days as they got closer to the headhunter's village. Then, without warning, the drums suddenly stopped. The forest fell eerily silent. With panic in his voice, the missionary calls out to the guide, the drums have stopped. What happens now? The guide crouched down, covered his head with his hands, and with despair in his voice answered, tuba solo. That was for you, Kim. I used to joke around with Cindy Thompson. Well, at last, I don't know how she survived 40 years of teaching beginning band. I do not know. I would walk down the hallway and I'd get a headache just walking down the hallway, and she did that. Yeah, I don't know how she did it though. So today and next Sunday, all right. is that a signal for me to end the sermon? All right. Today and next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching out of Romans, the 8th chapter. I will be speaking on living positively. Before I forget, let me just tell you, Sean, I've gotten 3 or 4 videos from him and some pictures, and we're going to try to make it to where we can show a little bit of that. Just the real brief things, you know, just like a minute total, 2 minutes total, next week, so you can kind of see what he's doing. He sent me a text and a picture and video yesterday, and thing on his watch that says how many, you know, how far he's gone. I think yesterday was 19,000 steps, and basically was what he showed me on his phone was 14.1 miles. In case those of you that don't know, they're walking over there in Spain on a path that the Apostle James took, and it's quite an experience for him there. So anyway, we'll share that a little bit next week. Anyway, I'm going to be speaking on living positively. You know, most people in the world today have not worked out how or why to live. A lot of them just exist. I mean that. They're caught up in the vice of circumstances, and they just exist. A lot of people live from one payday to the next. A lot of people are just there. They vegetate. They're just in life. They have no direction, no understanding, no concept why they're living. They just float along as victims of life. Now, there's an important verse in the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, 10th verse. John 10:10 says this. Jesus says, and I'm going to quote from the King James Version, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. In the New International Version of the Bible, it says, that they might have life and have it to the full or completely. You notice he didn't say, I have come that they might have religion. There's an old saying in theology, man is always and everywhere religious. He's not talking about religion. He's talking about life. He didn't say, I have come that they might have rules. Because the world, especially in the Jewish community, was filled with rules. I haven't come to have regulations. I have come that they might have life, to live life. So today and next Sunday, I want to talk about living positively. There is a Dr. Seligman, a professor from the University of Pennsylvania, who has devoted years and endless hours of research about personalities across this country. And he's come to some astounding, but really not surprising, conclusions about people who live positively. In your bulletin notes, if you want to write down, you can. If not, that's fine too. But the first things there is people who live positively. Number one, you're going to live longer. Two, you're going to be healthier. You're going to be healthier. And three, you're going to be happier. And four, you're going to get more accomplished. So live longer, be healthier, be happier, get more accomplished. That's if you live positively rather than negatively. You see, it is a natural thing, without any thinking or ingenuity on your part, to simply be negative. It's a natural way of life to be negative, to criticize, to be cynical, find things wrong. It's a natural way of life to be negative. Complain about the government when you can't complain about anything else. It is intentional to be positive. Now, if you've ever studied people of sales work at any profession, positive-minded salespersons across the board have 37% more sales than their negative counterparts who gripe and complain and approach life from a pessimistic point of view. The optimistic salesperson has 37% more sales. That ought to tell you something right there. So we need to learn to live positively. And if there's any place on this earth where there ought to be positive life, it should be in the church. There's a lot of bad news in the world all week long. And when people come to church, they ought to hear something good. Now, in this passage of Scripture in Romans 8, there's a phrase that is used all the way through Paul's teachings. It's his favorite phrase, in Christ. He uses it well over 100 times in the New Testament. Paul says over and over to be in Christ. And so if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Romans 8, 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Get that. In Christ Jesus. So the first reason that we can live positively is we have a life without condemnation. Again, that's the first one on three reasons we can live positively in the notes. We have a life without condemnation. There is no condemnation. I don't know if we really understand that. The Greek word for no is the strongest Greek word there is and there can ever be for no. Absolutely, positively, impossible to be otherwise. That's what that means. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're free from it. The fact is this about living positively. God is not angry with me. If I'm in Christ, God is not angry with me. Now, here's what I find. People can accept that intellectually real easy. I understand God's love, understand His grace, understand His forgiveness, understand that sin is forgiven, understand it's buried and forgotten. I understand all of that. What people have a problem with is emotionally, not intellectually. They know the right answer, but emotionally, it takes over their life. I'll give you an example that I've observed many times. If I'm honest, I've probably dealt with this a few times myself in my own personal life. A person goes down through life, and there are things that they've done that are wrong, and they come to a place of repentance and forgiveness with God, and He comes and He forgives. The Bible says that He forgives all sin. Scriptures that we base that on, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us from all unrighteousness. Colossians 2:13 and 14. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. In Psalms 103, verse 3 and 12, God, who forgives all of your iniquity As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. A person is cleansed, made a new creation. They are in Christ with no condemnation. Wait a minute. What do you mean, no condemnation? They move into life as a Christian, and an ill wind strikes their life. Something goes wrong. Something happens, and emotionally, they go back and link it to some sin that they have committed, and that they have asked God for repentance, and God has already forgiven. God's punishing me. No, he's not. You are punishing you. You're the one who's doing the punishing. A life in Jesus Christ is free from condemnation. I'm not going to condemn myself. I will not let other people condemn me or my relationship with God and with life. There is therefore now no condemnation. You've been forgiven. You've been restored. You are his child. You parents, when you have little children, they come along and you want what's best for them. You want them to grow up, and naturally, they do things wrong and you try to correct them. And what's the key word in raising children? We all know the key word is patience. Be patient with them. They'll learn to walk. They'll learn to say thank you. They'll learn to say may I at the table. They'll learn to do all these things if you are patient. You think your Heavenly Father is impatient with you? Yes, you blew it. You made a mistake. You had a problem. You don't have to condemn yourself. He's patient. He loves you. You're his child. You know, I wish I could get that really through to each and every one of you. Some of you need that so desperately. That I am in Christ Jesus, I'm his child, there is therefore no condemnation in my life. I've been accepted by the Lord, I'm growing, I'm trying to do better all the time, but I'm not going to condemn myself any longer because God doesn't condemn me. There's a scripture that really helps me with this. 1 John 3:20 and 21. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Listen carefully. Whether you feel condemned or uncondemned, God is the same. He loves you, has accepted you, and you must not live under self-condemnation. You see, the devil will come at you emotionally from every possible angle that he can. For instance, if you feel good, the devil's going to come at you with, well, you're filled with pride. You've got a lot of pride. You think you're better than everyone else. And if you feel bad, he'll get you to thinking, I'm too bad. I'm always bad. I am bad, bad, bad. And don't tell me you haven't thought about it sometimes. Sometimes we just get so down on ourselves. And then if you're like me, you have a lot of days when you don't feel good, you don't feel bad. You're just kind of like neutral. And you know what the devil will do on those days? You don't care. You're unconcerned. You're living a day where you don't care. Yes, I care. You see, he'll come at you at every possible emotion that you have to condemn you. He will. If you feel good or you feel bad or you feel in between, he's going to condemn, condemn, condemn. He's the accuser. He wants to condemn. And the Bible says, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. What's he saying? He knows more about what's going on in your life and your emotions than you do. He knows all things. And he's not there to condemn you, not at all. You know, we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We ought to all learn the next verse, John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In John, the 8th chapter, the woman who was caught in adultery was brought into the presence of Jesus. And they have proof positive that she is to be stoned. And Jesus writes in the sand and tells those without sin to cast the first stone. Finally, it comes down to the point where he says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she says, "I have no man to accuse me." And listen to this. This is what Jesus said. "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now, I want to tell you something. Where do you get the power to sin no more? It's when you come into the accepting grace of God. You first hear him say, "I no longer condemn you. I will not condemn you. You're my child." And in that, you have the power to go and sin no more. If he will release you, you need to release you. You know, there's an unusual church in the west side of Old Jerusalem with an unusual name. It's called the Church of the Flagellation. That's the honest, true name of it. This is where they flogged and they beat Jesus. That's an unusual name for a church. Now I want to tell all of you something. When I was a boy in the early 60s, I used to attend the Church of Flagellation. I did. I mean, they whipped you every Sunday. And the only way you would feel good is if we left church feeling bad. They would club you with the Bible. "You don't do this, and if you do this, this is what's going to happen." And they used to have a saying, "We're either going to clean one up or run them off." I never knew them to clean up anybody, but they sure ran a lot of them off. Straight-laced, narrow, condemning. I'd sit there as a child, and I would just be cringing fear as I was dangled over the flames of hell. And I got this thing in my mind, "I'm no good. I never will be any good. I had a bad thought. I'm going straight to hell." Church of the Flagellation. If you ever get into that, you love it. You do. And if they won't do it for you, you'll do it for yourself. When you are in Christ Jesus, you are free from condemnation. The second reason that we can live positively is found in Romans 8:2. It says, "Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin of death." In Christ Jesus, you can live positively because you're free from, number two in the notes there, you're free from domination. Free from domination. You have been set free from the law of sin and death. You might want to circle "set free." You've been liberated from sin and death because you're in the law of the Spirit and life. And here's the fact. Nothing will control me any longer because I'm in Christ Jesus. He controls me. I want you to hear me carefully what I'm going to say, because some of you will have disagreements with this. You need to hear this. This is the gospel. It's not psychiatry. It's not a quick fix. This is life. People say to me, "My life is out of control." Have any of you felt like your life is out of control? You didn't have the power over certain circumstances. You didn't have the power dealing with people or power over your job. You're victimized on every front. "My life is out of control." I've had people say, "I know what I want. I know it's right. I know what God wants. But somehow I don't seem to have the power to change. It's out of control." Maybe it's your actions are out of control. They control you. Maybe it's your thought life, the way you think. Maybe it's the way that you respond to people, especially certain people. At home, at church, at school, on your job, the way you respond. "I'm out of control. I'm afraid I can't control myself." Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's your language that gets out of control. Maybe it's alcohol or drugs out of control. Maybe it's overeating that's out of control. And it's your master and it dominates you and it crushes you. And it hinders you. And it makes your life a big mind of negativity. And you want some positive in Christ Jesus, in Him. Listen to me, children of God. In Christ Jesus, He's in control, and nothing any longer will control my life other than Him. He will control my life. You say, can you prove this? I can't test tube prove it up here for you, but I can't give you this much about it. I know that God, if He has absolute control in your life through Christ Jesus, can control anything that is coming into your life and can give you control. People all the time say that they can't stop a habit of theirs. But you know what? I've seen it happen more than once. When a person is faced with stopping something or facing dire consequences, consequences like death, divorce, loss of a job, they can stop. Could be alcohol, drugs, smoking, swearing, overeating, you name it. You see, a lot of us, we kind of give in. In fact, probably all of us at one, you know, we do give in at times. You can control your life through the power of Christ Jesus. I did not say it was easy. You can do it, though. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Whether it be a habit, an impulse, or whatever it is, greater is He that is in you than any of these things that surround your life 360 degrees, greater is He. That's why Paul said, set your affections on things above, on Christ. A positive lifestyle says nothing will control my life except Jesus Christ. What He allows, I allow. What He does not allow, I don't allow. I want to please Him. I want more and more and more of Him. And the third reason that we can live positively, if you turn to Romans 8, the 18th verse. I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. A life that is lived positively in Christ Jesus is lived without desperation. That's number three there. Lived without desperation. Whatever is going around you, it is without desperation. I have an inner peace. That doesn't mean that you won't have any stress. God never promised to keep you stress-free. We're all under some kind of stress. He never promised that you would have a life problem-free. You're going to have all kinds of problems. You're going to have stress. You're going to have circumstances. You're going to have situations. You're going to have possibilities fired at you all day long. But I will tell you this much. He promised that you don't have to live through it in desperation. Henry David Thoreau said, most people live out their lives in quiet desperation. I believe him. Desperate, not knowing what to do. They're discouraged. They're overwhelmed, not knowing how to handle it. Desperate because of things that are happening in their life. God never promised to keep you free from all those things, but He did promise to keep you within your heart, and there's a peace and there's a power. You know, the fact is this, you have a hope. Read the 8th chapter of Romans and tell me that you don't have hope. In this chapter, He gives you two hopes. One of them is in verse 23, for the redemption of our bodies. Every day, especially as I get older, I live in this hope. Someday I am getting a new body. Boy, now that ought to turn some of you on. I've already looked it up in Vogue magazine and seen it on a head. That's the one, God, right there. That's the one I'm going to have right there. I'm getting a new body. There's going to be a day when I won't have to deal with suffering. I won't have to deal with sickness. I get a new body. We are always in the process of coming to a full redemption. not only of our hearts and soul, but of our bodies in all eternity. We have a hope. You say, but what does that do now? It does a lot right now. People are always saying, you Christians are always either worldly singing about heaven, singing about God. That's right. We have a North Star. And off of that North Star, we can predict our life and keep it going. It's like a raging storm on the surface of the ocean. The waves are 25 to 30 feet high, and the spray is going everywhere. The winds are wild. But you go down into the depths a few feet, and there you're in the submarine of God's peace. Yes, life is wild. Yes, there is stress. Yes, there are problems, but I have this hope, this peace. I'm going to get a new body. That's one reason I have hope. The second hope is found in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. In other words, when I'm going through some difficult things, I have this hope. I have this promise that the Holy Spirit of God is interceding for me to see me through, and He's praying for me. That's the last one of the notes there on that positive there. He's praying for me. He knows things I don't know. Have you ever been to a point where it's, I don't know what decision to make? I want to please God, but I really don't know what decision to make. Have you ever been to a point where you say, I don't know what's going on. I don't know where this is going to lead. I don't know what's going to happen here. Personally, I've been there many times. God, what am I going to do? What is your direction? I don't know what decision to make. I don't have what it takes to get through this. And I pray, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for Mansell Tiss. He has a way of getting through that I can't get through. And somehow, because of that, I can see my way through. Do you believe that, that God has a way? Yes, He does. He sees you through, and that's our hope. I'm not in this thing alone. I have an inner peace. I have an inner confidence. I get through the stress, get through the problem, and travel on. Minnie Haskins, in one of her poems, said this, I asked the man that stood by the gate to give me a light into the unknown. And he replied, go out in the dark and place your hand in the hand of God, and it will be better unto you than a light and safer than a known way. That's where we are. That's why we live positively. When the world is mourning and unrest abounds, God will use the Christians as a salt of the earth and a light on a hill, because we have a hope. I'm going to ask each of you to bow your heads and close your eyes right now. Please, nobody looking. And I'm going to ask that if there's anybody here this morning that needs a life free of condemnation, needs a life free of domination, needs a life free of all that's going on in desperation. You need this, and you know you need this. With every head bowed and eyes closed, I know this will take some courage, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand briefly if that is your prayer this morning. Okay, you may put your hands down. Several hands were raised. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I pray for these individuals today and ask that those that are hearing this prayer this morning, that are praying people, Lord, that they will pray for these individuals. Right now, I claim for them for this moment, Father, set them free from condemnation, whether it comes from their own heart, their own mind, or from another person on this earth. Set them free in the power of Jesus Christ. I ask you, God, in this moment that you would be with those individuals
and that you would break the binding hold of anything that is foreign to anything that you have for them, anything that distresses them in the way of a domination, that it be broken in this moment. In the power of Jesus Christ, I claim the breaking of dominant forces in their life. And Father, I pray that you would take from them the inner turmoil of desperation in their life. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What's going to happen? How am I going to handle it? What's going to happen to me? Father, I ask that you would bring to them that inner peace and stability and calmness that will see them through. These things we have prayed today in the name and the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who loved us long before we ever loved him. Father, help us to love you more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.